Savior Jesus Christ. Thank God for this privilege where I can share with you from God's Word this morning. About a week ago, the Prime Minister of Singapore shared with the nation and he gave a very bleak picture of the economy of Singapore and what lies ahead. He basically said that unless a vaccine is found, our lives from henceforth will never be the same again. Businesses have been very badly affected. Some or many may never rise from the ashes. And nearly at the conclusion of his message to the people of Singapore, he gave the assurance that no one will be left behind. He used the word fear. Do not be afraid. Do not be overcome by fear. He gave the assurance of how Singapore started with the pioneer generation and then the Merdeka generation. And then he paralleled that with today's generation to motivate the Singaporeans to put more backbones into the lives of every Singaporean so that we will not be fearful. This pandemic had taken thousands and thousands of lives all over the world. Every country is nervous. Even powerful countries like America and China are nervous. Why? Because of death. Be strong and courageous. Because of death, people are frightened. People are nervous. This strength and courage that the Bible speaks of is not physical. It's inward. And our Prime Minister in Singapore tried to give us a similar kind of strength and courage as we face this COVID-19 pandemic in our tiny island of Singapore, and I'm sure all of you in the greatest, largest island on earth, Australia. Smallest continent, largest island. And I'm sure you are also facing similar situations. And just as Brother Lin Kang has prayed for wisdom to be given to the leaders of Australia to know when to lift the lockdown. In Singapore, it's called the circuit breaker. So that as much as possible, some semblance of normalcy could return. And at the back of our mind, this fear of being afflicted by COVID-19, which may or may not lead to death, will still put fear to many people, especially those who are in their evening years, senior citizens. We are more vulnerable as this virus seems to attack people who are of age, and they seem to face a much, much more dire circumstance if they are afflicted with this COVID-19 than a younger person. Hezekiah and his people, they were not facing a COVID-19 pandemic. Perhaps they might be facing something far worse. Human beings that were very vicious, and the Assyrians of all the superpowers that would soon conquer Judah. The Assyrians were known as the worst of all, because after the Assyrians were the Babylonians, the Medes and the Persians, the Greeks and the Romans. The Romans were well known for their engineering skill and their Pax Romana, Peace of Rome, that enabled the Apostle Paul, for example, to spread the gospel from Jerusalem all the way to the capital city in Rome in one lifetime. God used the Greeks to give us the New Testament scriptures, their language, enable many of the people in the time of Christ to understand the Word of God given to them in Greek. God used the Medes and the Persians to return Israel back to the Promised Land, to rebuild Jerusalem and the temple and the nation. God used the Babylonians to exile them and to keep them safe in the land of Babylon, like God kept his people safe in Goshen, in the land of Egypt, thousands of years ago. But the Assyrians, they were well known for their cruelty. They were great inventors of new ways to torture, to maim, and to kill people. That's why Jonah hated the Assyrians so much, because their capital city was Nineveh. And he didn't even want to go there to give them the slightest opportunity to repent of their sin, because of his great prejudice against them. Because Assyria was well known even at that time for their vileness and their wickedness. And now they were knocking on the door of Judah. And Hezekiah was the king at this time. He had been king for about 14 years. 8 years ago, Hezekiah witnessed the destruction of Samaria by the Assyrians, when the northern brethren was destroyed. And so now he knew that he was facing a very, very fierce enemy, an enemy that was vicious, heartless, wicked. Men, women, and children would be slaughtered if they were to march all the way down from the north into Judah. He knew that. Hezekiah was used by God when he first became king. God used him to keep the Passover, and he even invited many of his brethren from the north. Any one of you would like to join us to partake of the Passover, you're most welcome. And many of them did. If you were to look at 2 Chronicles 30, it was as if God was giving them one final moment of spirituality. For Samaria was soon destroyed, but God wanted to save the individual Israelite. And so thank God for many who would march all the way down from the north to Jerusalem to partake of the Passover one final time before their destruction and their death by the Assyrians in 722 BC. And 8 years from that date, it was now Hezekiah's turn to confront an enemy that he had witnessed how powerful and devastating their army was, and how evil and wicked the Assyrians and their kings could become. And it is in this context that we have Elijah using the phrase, "Be strong and courageous," a term that God used to encourage Joshua in Joshua chapter 1 as he commenced his ministry. And this was also the beginning of the confrontation. Strength and courage is very much needed, especially at the onset of a very grievous trial or adversity. The strength and courage of the inner man, the strength and courage to keep trusting, the strength and courage to hold on to the truth and the word of God, come what may. That no matter what happens, even if we have to die physically, we must hold on to strength and courage and not flinch and retain our holiness. Strength and courage does not mean that there will be no physical harm. But in this context, in Hezekiah, God will deliver them from physical harm. But it must be qualified that the Apostle Paul was strong and courageous to hold on to his faith, even while he was in prison all the days of his life until he was martyred. So please do not conclude that strength and courage means we become invincible, whereby we will not get hurt, whereby we will not suffer loss of material things, our freedom, health, and even our lives. Strength and courage means that we will hold on to our faith and our trust in Christ, no matter what happens. That's how we must understand strength and courage as we look at these 8 verses of 2 Chronicles 32. First and foremost, when we want to have strength and courage, we must first know how to evaluate the problem, the adversity. And that's what we see from verses 1 and 2. Now, if we are not able to evaluate properly what is confronting us, like this COVID-19, how do we as believers look at this pandemic compared to the rest of the world? For them in the world, they will see it as a battle of flesh and blood, a battle that is in the medical realm, trying to find a vaccine as soon as possible in order for us to get back, hopefully, a normalcy that was before the circuit breaker, before COVID-19. That's what we all long for, where we can walk around in freedom without having to wear a mask every time we leave our homes. That's how they look at this problem, how to resuscitate the economy as soon as possible, because no matter how much you want to inject your reserves, billions of dollars, and in some countries like America, so vast, so huge, they need to inject trillions of dollars to sustain and keep the economy alive, so that after the lockdown, at least the economy can come back to life, hopefully. Now, that's how the world looked at this problem. But how should Christians look at this situation? How do you look at this problem, where our church life has been turned upside down? Has our relationship with Christ been turned upside down? Yeah. Look at the two verses. After these things and the establishment thereof, after these things means after what Hezekiah did in the cleansing of the city. His father Ahaz was a bad king. Ahaz reigned during the time of Isaiah. Isaiah was the prophet that witnessed the destruction of the north, Samaria. And so he had a lot of cleansing to do. And after cleansing, he invited the brethren from the north to join him in the Passover. And so after all these spiritual cleansing, Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, came. He entered into Judah, not Jerusalem, not yet, Judah only, take note, and encamped against the fenced city. So he was about to attack Judah. He had surrounded some of the fortified cities, not yet Jerusalem. Jerusalem, a capital city, usually the last one, the last city to be destroyed. And so as Hezekiah noticed the ferocity and the intent of the Assyrians, and they thought to win them for himself, right? He wanted to conquer. And then Hezekiah saw that Sennacherib was come, and that he was purposed to fight against Jerusalem. Now, how do we know what it means when the Bible said that Hezekiah observed that the Assyrians were very determined to attack Jerusalem? That means when the final capital city is destroyed, it literally means the nation is destroyed. If you look at 2 Kings, you realize that when this started, Hezekiah tried to appease the Assyrians, asked them, what do you want? And they asked for gold and other precious items. And Hezekiah gave it to the Assyrians. And despite what he did, the Assyrians continued to march down. That's what this verse 2 means when it said that Hezekiah noticed that the Assyrians were very determined to fight against Jerusalem, because he tried to avoid war. The Assyrians ignored, they didn't care. So you and I first have to evaluate the problem and the adversity. Now, Hezekiah could simply look at this and see this as a battle of flesh and blood, whereby he could just lean on the arm of the flesh and trust in his military might. And then what would be the usual thing to do? Make an alliance with a superpower or another power down south, that's Egypt. And it's easy to do because you just simply approach the Egyptian Pharaoh and said to him, why don't we unite and join forces just in case after destroying Judah, the Assyrians could very well march all the way down and attack you. Why don't we join forces and stop him right there and then? I still remember when I was in national service in the 1970s, where North Vietnam and South Vietnam were still fighting. And the Americans were involved with South Vietnam, and the Chinese were involved with the North Vietnamese. And because of the ASEAN Pact, we were told, not so much specifically, but the rumor was that if South Vietnam was defeated, and if the North Vietnamese would continue to march all the way down and try its best to cross the border of Thailand, Singapore would not wait for them to conquer Thailand and then Malaysia and then knocking at the door of Singapore before we send our soldiers up north. Because of the ASEAN Pact, the rumor was that we would probably be sent up north to fight the North Vietnamese if they started to touch the border of Thailand. But thank God they did not go beyond that. They stopped after conquering South Vietnam. But this kind of alliances between countries, where all of them have their own self-interests at stake, it's easy to make alliances and then to lean on the arm of the flesh, because that's the normal military strategy of the way of the world. Because as far as they are concerned, flesh and blood is always where the real battle lies, where we protect our homeland, we protect our wealth, we protect our economy, we protect our families and our freedom and our physical safety. On the other hand, Judah, like Israel, was a spiritual nation. This was not just an attack on any Gentile nation. This was a direct assault on the people of God with a spiritual mission and purpose on earth, given to them, sanctioned by the Creator of heaven and earth, God Himself. When we evaluate a problem, if we are not able to see that it is a spiritual problem, it's very, very hard for us to be strong and courageous in the inner man. We will capitulate, we will collapse, and we will think and behave like the rest of the world. And I pray and hope that we are not behaving like the rest of the world when we are now facing COVID-19 pandemic. The world will tremble and fear, and they will trust in their leaders, like many Singaporeans will trust in our Prime Minister and his cabinet, and what he said about a week ago. Do not be afraid. No Singaporean will have to stand alone. We are behind you. We are with you. That is a promise, literally, of some form of omniscient and omnipresence. Right? No Singaporean. Are you sure you are able to do that? That you can reach out to every Singaporean, that no one will stand on his own as they face the future? But that's the promise, that's his assurance. And so many Singaporeans who are non-Christians, who are not Christians, those words will give them, I'm sure, some strength and courage in the inner man to sleep better at night. But for us as Christians, like Hezekiah when he evaluated the adversity from the Assyrians, he could react and respond like the world, like all the Gentile nations, like his father Ahaz, a bad king, a carnal king who made alliances after alliances despite the rebuke from God through Isaiah. Or he could see this as a spiritual problem. And once it is a spiritual problem, you are heading in the right direction. And did God not tell us in the New Testament that the moment we became believers, no longer will we ever wrestle against flesh and blood? We always wrestle against principalities and in the spiritual realm. And that will never change, because you will never stop being a spiritual person as long as the Spirit of God dwells in you. And therefore, as children of God, we stop fighting flesh and blood problems the moment we became believers. Please remember this. And so when you look at the present situation, see this as a spiritual problem. Because if you are not able to evaluate this present problem and see it as a spiritual problem, strength and courage will evade you. Now, just because it is a spiritual problem, that doesn't mean that there are no human responsibilities. Although Hezekiah was able to see this as a spiritual problem, verse 1 and verse 2, that was the adversity. The verses 3 to 6, he fulfilled all human responsibilities. He took counsel with his princes and his mighty men, because what he wanted to do could not be done on his own. He needed help. We all do, especially as a church, especially as a Christian family, especially as a Christian. We all need one another. And so he took counsel. He talked to his princes and his mighty men. What did he want to do? To stop the waters of the fountains which were outside the city, that is Jerusalem. And they did help him. So this was a strategy. He knew that everybody wanted water. And in that part of the world, water was priceless, perhaps as expensive as oil in our context. And so there were gathered much people together who stopped all the fountains and the brook that ran through the midst of the land, saying, "Why should the kings of Assyria come and find much water? Now, if they do not have water, even though they can bring food, they can have food, but without water, they won't last long. Their soldiers will be discouraged. They will be weakened." So he did not avoid human responsibilities. He will do his part. He will do whatever he could from his perspective as a king. Also, he strengthened himself and built up all the walls that was broken and raised it up to the towers and another wall without and repaired Millo, the city of David. This city was just outside the outskirts of the walls of Jerusalem, and made darts that would be spears and shields in abundance. And then he set captains of war over the people and gathered them together to him in the street of the gate of the city and spake comfortably to them, saying, so human responsibilities. So he prepared as much as he possibly could, humanly speaking, because even though it is a spiritual battle, it is still a battle of flesh and blood. Don't forget that. When the Bible talks about we no longer wrestle against flesh and blood, doesn't mean that all physical things just simply evaporates. We are still serving the Lord in this mortal flesh, in this body called flesh and blood. And therefore, even though it is a spiritual warfare, this body is the one that is going to face the brunt of the forces of evil. Doing what we possibly can. And so, we do our utmost to keep everyone safe from this COVID-19. We put on masks as we are told to do. We observe all this safe distancing. We sanitize our hands. We wash our hands. We keep ourselves as clean as possible. We do our part. But the peace that we have in our hearts, the safety that we experience, is not dependent or anchored or founded in what we do, in our masks that we wear, in the sanitizer that we use, in the safe distancing that we keep and observe to the best of our ability. The safety is in the Lord. Even though we will do all these physical things, but in our own hearts, we don't lean upon these things. We do not trust in these things to keep us safe, like the world would do. As far as the world is concerned, this is the safety. This is how they keep themselves safe. This is how they feel safe. The safe distancing, the mask that they put on, all these will give them some semblance of comfort and peace in their soul. But for the child of God, it is the Lord. It is not doing all these things. Doesn't mean that we trust in the Lord. We don't do all these things. That would be putting God to the test, tempting the Lord. And the Lord Jesus Christ told us, never tempt the Lord. Remember the temptation number two, when the devil brought Jesus Christ to a pinnacle and asked him to jump. The Bible said that you will not fall, the angel will catch you. Do not tempt the Lord. Just because the Lord says, you wrestle no longer against flesh and blood, and I will keep you safe, safety is with me. So does it mean that we are careless? We don't be careless. We still put on masks, you cannot walk out. And don't bother about safe distancing, don't bother about sanitizing your hand and so on. And then when people ask you, oh, the Lord is my Savior, the Lord will keep me safe. That is irresponsible. That is a behavior of someone who is now putting the Lord to the test. We do our part. The human responsibility is important, just like Hezekiah. He understood from a military point of view. He had no time to prepare any of his weapons of war, but he understood every army needs water. And so he instructed his men, his princes, and the mighty men to rally the people, to block off the water as much as possible. And of course, if you have been to Jerusalem, there is this part inside Jerusalem known as Hezekiah's Tunnel, where Hezekiah was the one who got his men to carve a tunnel into a mountain to bring the water from Kidron all the way into the city, so that the city, even though it was encircled later on, hundred years later, from this point of view, from this period, by the Babylonians, where it was destroyed in 586 BC, they will always have water because of what Hezekiah and his people did by creating the Hezekiah tunnel to draw the water into the city of Jerusalem. He understood the importance. So please do not think that be strong and courageous. It does not involve human responsibility. We must first evaluate the adversity, the problem, and then we fulfill all human responsibility. We must do our utmost to ensure that we have done all that we need to do, Lord. But now we know that our safety and our foundation, our true dependence, is you and you alone. And so verses 7 and 8, we have a complete dependence on Christ. That is where the strength of courage is. Strength of courage comes with the right evaluation of our adversity, that it is a spiritual one. We do our utmost, fulfilling all human responsibilities. But finally, the complete dependence is in Christ and Christ alone. And so after he did all these things, he said to the people, be strong and courageous. Be not afraid, nor dismayed, as they are going to soon witness the mighty army of the Assyrians. And they numbered more than 100,000. And no one, no nation, were able to stop them at that point in time. And they will boast of their might and their power and their invincibility later on in the rest of 2 Chronicles 32. And there is another parallel account in 2 Kings, where the Assyrians will send their entourage, and they are going to try their utmost to talk them down to surrender and try to incite some kind of rebellion by deliberately speaking in Hebrew and trying to convince them and urge them and entice them. You surrender and we will keep your life safe. We'll give you all the comforts of life if you surrender. You fight against us, you're going to lose, because no nation were able to stop the Assyrian army up to that point in time. But right at the very beginning, Hezekiah told them, be strong and courageous, be not afraid, nor dismayed, for the king of Assyria, nor for all the multitude that is with him, his mighty army that numbered more than 100,000. For there be more with us than with him. Who? With him is the arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God, Jehovah our God, to help us. That is the source and foundation of the strength and courage of every Christian, and of his people, and of his church. How to be strong and courageous in the Lord? By knowing him. You can't draw strength from a stranger. You can't trust in a stranger. The more you study God's word, the more you know your Heavenly Father, the more you will be able to trust him, because the Bible is about him. The Bible described for us what the Lord Jesus Christ and what God the Father did throughout the ages, and how he helped his people in the past, how he helped his nation, how he helped individuals. He will do the same if we trust him. You cannot be strong and courageous in the inner man without the truth of the Word of God to give you the understanding of the one that you must lean upon, that is Jehovah our God. And that's why Hezekiah pointed the heart and mind of his people toward, look to Jehovah your God, our God, not me. Don't look at Hezekiah. Hezekiah, your king, he did not have the strength and the might and the power to help. And so together with his people, Hezekiah urged the people, and he himself also look to Jehovah our God to help us, to fight our battles. And the people rested themselves upon the words of Hezekiah, the king of Judah. They trusted in the words of Hezekiah, just as we must now in these last days trust in the word of our Heavenly Father, the word of God himself. That is why you must keep on studying the Bible to be strong and courageous, to see us through this pandemic. How will it end? We do not know. We don't need to know. But we know that the Lord knows, and the Lord will help us, and the Lord will fight our battles for us. Don't be afraid. Some of you may have the fear of losing your job, or some may even have lost your job in this difficult market. Don't be afraid. Did the Lord not assure us, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness? Trust me to take care of your physical needs. Remember how he fed Elijah during the 3.5 years of drought that he sent to afflict Ahab and Jezebel because of their sinful, evil, wicked ways? The Lord kept his servant alive, provided food for him through the widow of Zarephath, whose oil never ran out. The Lord will provide. Trust him. He will never fail us. But to do that, you have to be strong and courageous in the inner man. And that can come only through a faithful, diligent study of God's word with the right understanding and always with a heart of total submission and obedience. That's the only way to be strong and courageous to see us through this difficult time. This is unprecedented. We never expected that the turn of the new year, when we thank God at our watch night service at the close of 2019, that 2020, soon after the Lunar New Year celebration, our lives would never be the same again. But the Lord knew from the very beginning of time. And the Lord has placed all of us here on earth after salvation for a time such as this. He knows the strength of our faith. He knows that he will never allow any one of us to be tempted above that which we are able to bear, because he's faithful. And with every temptation, he will make a way of escape that we will all be able to bear under it. Be strong and courageous, brothers and sisters in Christ. For the return of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, draweth nigh. Let us all take a step back and look at this problem with new eyes, evaluate it from a spiritual perspective, do whatever we can from a human standpoint, fulfill all human responsibilities. But our complete and absolute and total trust and dependence is not in what we do, but is in our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who can never fail. May God encourage our hearts and give us the strength and courage to face whatever lies ahead, knowing that our Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ, He's the Creator of heaven and earth, and not even one beam of light from the sun could shine without His permission. And this invisible virus called COVID-19 is not the one that is in control of your life and my life, but our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. How long we live, how long we serve Him on earth, is not in the hand of COVID-19. Please understand this. It's in the hand of our loving Heavenly Father, who loved us even when we were His enemies. Now that we are His children, He will always, always love us to the very end. Let us pray. Our merciful, loving Heavenly Father, we thank and praise Thee for Thy mercies and Thy goodness toward all of us. For we know that we're living in perilous and momentous times. For the world is changing, and we know that it is changing in the direction where the Antichrist will soon appear. And before He revealed Himself, we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ to take up the church would be soon. Help all Your children to be ever ready, and no one will be found wanting, that we will all be found faithful, serving Thee diligently, faithfully, all the days of our lives until we see the Lord Jesus Christ face to face. Forgive us, O Lord, for the many times when we have allowed our fear to overwhelm us, and we have failed to be strong and courageous because we have not been able to see the adversity as a spiritual one. Help us, O Lord, as Thy blood-bought children, to never look at the world with the eyes of the world, but with the eyes of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. May we do our utmost, fulfilling our human responsibilities, but never leaning upon them, but always with a complete, total submission to our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. For He indeed is our absolute safety. For our lives and our health, they are in Your loving hand and not in the hand of man. Help us never to be afraid, for Thou will always fight our battles for us, just as You help Hezekiah and his people in his days. We know that You will help Your people in our day. For Jesus' sake, in Jesus' most precious and holy name, we give thanks and pray. Amen.